Welcome back. I'm Julie Glenn. This is Gulf Coast Live. Saturday, May 6th, tomorrow, is Free Comic Book Day at comic shops all across the country. What started as an effort to bring new hobbyists into the local comic shop is increasingly a way for parents and kids to share hobbies and read together. And when it comes to getting kids to read, literacy experts say that reading time with mom and dad is critical. Joining us today to tell us more about Free Comic Book Day in our part of the country is Tom Lotz of Cool Comics and Games in Cape Coral. Welcome to Gulf Coast.
Hello. Thank you.
Also joining us today to talk about improving the literacy for kids and parents is Chris Nind, the Executive Director of the Literacy Council, Literacy Volunteers of Collier. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We're talking about free comics on offer at comic shops across the country tomorrow and how that can be used to help kids and families read together. Do you read comic books or graphic novels with your kids? Give us a call and share at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. You can also visit WGCUnews.org for more ways to get in touch. So first, Tom Lotz of Cool Comics and Games. How long has Free Comic Book Day been going on? How did it get its start?
Oh, let's see. This is probably started just over about a decade ago. They just had their recent 10-year anniversary. And it's just something that all the comic book companies collaborate on every year now. And there's been more and more companies that have been jumping on board. It originally started out with, like, you know, the bigger few, like Marvel and DC. But now you'll see a lot more indie comics getting involved in it. Mm-hmm. So the selection increases every year of titles that people can pick up.
So the name seems pretty self-explanatory, Free mm-hmm. Comic Book Day. Yes. But what can people expect when they walk into a comic shop tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow I'm going to have several tables full of these special titles that are produced specifically for Free Comic Book Day. And typically they're going to be either reprints of existing titles that the companies have put out or preview books of stories that are coming up later in the year.
Does it get to be kind of festival-y with people dressing up and everything?
Oh, yes. We always get cosplayers and people that really like to have a good time. They'll bring their kids. The kids will dress up too. So we have a lot of fun with it for a couple hours.
Do you see it as a way for kids to kind of get involved and start reading?
Oh, yes, definitely. The parents will come by. They'll bring all their kids in tow and they'll all pick up, you know, several titles each. And they'll share amongst themselves. We get wiped out pretty fast every year.
So get there early.
Oh, yes.
Unless you want the unpopular comics. Yes. So Chris Nind with Literacy Volunteers of Collier. We're talking about comics today as a way to help kids enjoy reading. As someone who works to help get kids to read more, do you think comics are the right thing or a proper way to go?
Well, it's certainly effective. Any involvement that you can have the parent and the child reading together, and actually it doesn't – the language is – we'd obviously prefer it to be English, but if it's in their natural tongue, that's absolutely fine because that is the key, is to encourage parents to be engaged with their children's education.
So with your organization, you do a lot of family involvement
right.
things, and you have a family and children reading together program. Tell me how that works, because with the comics, we're talking about parents having right. their hobby and sharing it with their kids, but right. you're having kids share with the parents.
Right, and vice versa. So basically what we're doing, the program is called Children and Parents Reading Together, and what we're endeavoring to do there is not only work with the children to help them with their English skills, and these are four-year-old children in pre-K. And this program takes part in the Head Start schools within Collier County. But what we're doing is we're encouraging the mothers to come, first of all. We work with the mothers, teaching them how to read a book in English. And obviously we go through that book with them because we're looking at maybe 50 to 60% of children entering pre-K come from non-English speaking homes. So there obviously is a challenge there. So by encouraging the parent to understand how important it is to read with their child in the evening. So we work with the parent to start with, then the child joins them. We will then work with the family together, the mum and the parent, the mum and the child, and read the book together. And then when we've finished that, we'll maybe do letters, maybe do numbers, and then the family will take the book home with them. And when they come back for their next lesson, we will see how frequently they have read together with their child in the evening at home.
So you have a parent who speaks one language.
Yeah.
And then their child, who's only heard that language up to this point, is right. going to like pre-K 3 or pre-K 4.
Right.
And then they're being exposed to only English there.
Yes.
So it's they're entering it, but then what you're doing is kind of providing a way for the parents to also enter into English at the same time and with the child.
Yes, providing that, but also just providing the fact that we need them to understand how vital it is for the parents to get involved in their child's education, not just in pre-K, but throughout the child's full academic education. And in fact, a spin-off from the children and parents reading together has been that a number of those mothers have asked for separate lessons. And so we have a pilot scheme going in one school in Collier right now where we're actually teaching English to those mothers on separate days without the children. So again, it's we're trying to get those children ready, pre-K or kindergarten ready. And if we can work with the family as a whole, as a unit, we think that's really important.
So if you have a child that goes to school that's learning English at school and then comes home and the parents aren't making an effort to learn English or they're just completely just not at all speaking, does that make it harder for that kid?
It's going to make it a little harder. There's absolutely no doubt in that. But I think by working closely with the parents and getting them to see the importance, if we can get them to read half an hour in English before the child goes to bed at home in the evening, that really will make a major impact on that child's education.
And there's also part of creating a culture to make that the thing that the parents do.
Correct.
And that could be facilitated by doing something fun like a comic. Are there any comics that you know of that would be kind of – that would gear themselves towards comics in Spanish or comics in other languages that parents could use and then kind of like ease their way into getting used to reading with their child?
Certain titles are available in other languages, Spanish being the most common in this area. And you can pick those up. We don't normally carry them in stock, but they are something we can special order and we don't mind doing it.
Yeah, it's not too hard to turn over an order like that. But if you end up having something like that or maybe is there a lot of writing in comics? I haven't read a comic in a long time.
I guess it depends on the titles, but yeah, the writing has become a lot more sophisticated since the old days. Originally, people considered, you know, comic reading to be, you know, it's foolish and all this, and they typically would throw them out. But now, I think nowadays people accept it, that it is actually fiction. And people should be reading these things. Any kind of comprehension is good for kids. We have a lot of books that are geared towards the younger readers.
Yeah. I mean, what kind of titles would you suggest for families that are wanting to incorporate comics into their nightly reading routine?
We have specifically one rack that's an all ages. You'll get some popular titles like Spider-Man, The Avengers, Justice League, Ninja Turtles. All that sort of thing. And it's for the younger readers, and it's something the parents can read along with them. And, you know, it's appropriate subject matter. They don't get, you know, too graphic at all with those.
So. And I don't want to get too gendery or anything, but do you have any, like, My Little Pony or anything for
the
girls?
We do actually carry My Little Pony, and My Little Pony has three titles going currently.
Really?
Yes.
Three titles. What does that
three
mean?
Three different titles. There's, let's see, there's Friendship is Magic, and then there's, like, Friends Forever, and then they just started another new one, too.
The Equestrian Girls?
Yeah.
Not that I know. I have a six-year-old. But, I mean, I'm pretty sure that as a comic book owner, I mean, you got to have everybody covered, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like Powerpuff Girls just came back. You know, that's got a, back in print, you know. And this,
yeah, and that one doesn't have really complex language, I don't think.
Oh, no, not at all.
So we're talking about children's literacy and helping ESL parents by reading with their kids and how comics and graphic novels can help. What do you read with your kids? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. So, Chris Nine, with the Literacy Volunteers of Collier, what kind of things do you recommend for parents and kids that are trying to find common reading material? What kind of books do you go towards?
Well, within the Children and Parents Reading Together program, we have the books agreed with the Collier County School District. And we basically have a list of eight, which each child gets one of those books at the end of each lesson. So at the end of the eight-week semester, they actually have a little library of eight books. And some titles in really for four-year-olds. We've got The Very Hungry Caterpillar, Goodnight Gorillas, Five Little Monkeys Reading in Bed, and that's really entertaining. and Goodnight Moon, just to give you four. So those are the kind of books. Now, sometimes the parents will come with younger siblings, so obviously we have to have some books available for them too. So in that case, we really recommend Little Critter, ABC, and First Words as two books to start their children on English.
How quickly do these kids get it? Are they pretty speedy?
They are actually remarkably fast. They really are. Obviously, there is catch-up that sometimes the parents have to go through. And that's why I think it's important that as a family program that we want to be able to offer the mothers additional and fathers additional tuition so that they can keep abreast of the language. And, of course, all of the tutoring is done by volunteers. So they are all volunteers from Collier who volunteer their time about 3 to 4 hours a week to assist in this program.
How many volunteers do you have right now?
Right now, we have about 220, and we always, always need more volunteers.
I would imagine, especially going into summer.
And also we've got adult programs as well. We've got over 200 adult students, so there's always a need for volunteers.
So switching gears, Adam Malloy is a history teacher at North Fort Myers High School, and he says he was inspired to bring comics into the curriculum after journalist, educator, and author Ta-Nehisi Coates took over the Marvel comic called Black Panther. Coates won a MacArthur Genius Award for his 2015 book, Between the World and Me. Now, here is Adam Malloy talking about how he's using the author's work in comics in his history classes.
I teach ACE International History, which is part of our ACE Cambridge program at North Fort Myers High. It's a college-level history with a college-level assessment at the end of the year. You know, it's a little bit more in-depth, so it's 1871 to 1945 international relations. I recently kind of reignited my passion in, you know, with comics, with Ta-Nehisi Coates' run with the Black Panther. Thought it was very modern and very relevant. I thought of a kind of a perfect way to get it in with the scramble for Africa and European imperialism in the 19th century. I thought, what a great idea if the kids could do an alternative history where a superhero team is actually scrambling to save a particular African region from European imperialists. And so I thought that there was a lot of potential in terms of deepening the kids and, you know, the students' understanding of not only their assigned region, but also what it would take to have resisted European imperialism. They really got into it. They could either use just the Black Panther, and he's from a fictitious African state called Wakanda, which is very similar to Ethiopia in the late 19th, early 20th century in terms of resisting outside exploitation for raw materials or natural resources. And so they could use a team, or they could just use the Black Panther. And they had to research, like, real imperialism in their region. They had to actually research British imperialism in Nigeria and then create a team to go back at a particular event and change the outcome of history.
That was North Fort Myers High School teacher Adam Malloy talking about how he uses Black Panther comic books in his classroom to teach European colonialism in Africa. Now, that's an interesting way to engage high school kids in learning about a period of history that they might not find otherwise entertaining. They have to learn the colonialism and the history there, and then they have to invent a way that a comic book hero may have gone in to save the day. So, Tom, lots of cool comics and games. Do you see more of this kind of thing as comics are becoming more popular these days?
Oh, yes. The superheroes, they don't always end up squaring off against your typical supervillains with, you know, the capes and everything. Sometimes it is sort of like, you know, they do actually sometimes put their political agendas in these books as well. But, yeah, it's much more adult now. And we also get, besides just the regular comic book writers, we get a lot of other fiction writers. Most recently, let's say R.L. Stine, who did Goosebumps. He's on the Man-Thing comic book right now. So it's you're getting a different angle for a classic horror book, but with a more modern tone to it.
And they have to then be not only a good writer but a good artist.
He writes. There's also they work with the artist.
Oh, okay.
Well,
so sometimes there's somebody doing the art and then there's somebody else doing the storyline.
Once in a while, you get somebody that pulls both. You know, that can write and draw.
Is that rare?
But typically, yeah, you'll have a regular writer and a regular artist, and they coordinate with each other.
So how have you seen this Free Comic Book Day evolving over time? Has it changed a lot in the last 10 years?
Yeah, it's definitely getting bigger. And like I said before, there's more titles now and more companies are really getting on board, and they're also doing different promotions with it as well. It's not just comic books anymore, but like the games and the toys, they get into it as well. So you're seeing a lot more variation than you did 10 years ago.
Well, and it seems like these days the box office is populated by a lot of superheroes. So is that kind of giving a push too?
Oh, definitely. Like this year you're going to see titles such as Wonder Woman because, well, we have the Wonder Woman movie coming out. Marvel's got Guardians of the Galaxy because we have the sequel that actually drops today. And let's see, other popular titles like Doctor Who, who's, you know, very popular right now. He's got a free book, Rick and Morty, if you watch that show.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe kids might not read that book as much.
Maybe high school.
Yeah. Teens, definitely. Little kids, maybe not so much.
But I think it's a really unique way that the teacher that we talked with, Mr. Malloy, with incorporating a comic book kind of a scenario into real historic situations to kind of see how it plays out, because it really forces you to understand a historical time period and what was going on then.
Yes, it's better subject matter now too. Some people get sick of just, you know, the old just, you know, beat up, shoot each other kind of thing. But when you actually give an angle like that, you know, it'll raise a lot of interest and lets writers really stretch.
We are talking about Free Comic Book Day and how comics and parents are reading together and helping kids enjoy reading. Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. So, Chris Nind, I wanted to ask you a little bit more about the volunteers that you have.
Yeah.
What does it take to be a volunteer?
Volunteers basically go through an orientation initially, which takes place at our offices in East Naples. And then we have about 11 hours of training, which we split over 3 days. And basically, we will teach our volunteers how to tutor an adult student. So primarily, they're all taught initially to tutor adults. And tutors get very concerned that they don't speak Spanish or they haven't had teaching experience, and that really isn't a necessity because we really want them to be speaking English with the
That's
students.
That's pretty full immersion.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. And then those tutors that want to go on and tutor children in the Children and Parents Reading Together program, they will then do an additional couple of hours, actually more of a practical of how to work with the parent and work with the child in the classroom. So, and then we really do expect the tutors to be able to give about 3 to 4 hours a week. And we do ask our tutors to kind of sign on for a year because continuity is really important, especially with students as they develop and their English improves. So that is an important thing. Now, the other interesting thing is that all the tutoring in Collier County, it can be done to fit the where the tutor lives and where the student lives. So, in fact, if we had a student in North Naples, we would match them with a tutor in North Naples, and then they would arrange to meet and to tutor at least once a week.
Making it convenient. That's,
yeah, absolutely.
That's nice.
Absolutely.
We have a call on the line from Bethany in Fort Myers. Bethany, what would you like to ask?
Hi. I'm actually a intensive reading teacher at one of our local high schools, and I think the subject that you are speaking about is fascinating because I'll be honest with you, at the beginning of my career, I would have bucked the trend of comic books. I would have said, no, they're not complex enough, or they need to be reading Shakespeare. But I've learned over the years that there are more complex storylines, and it gets the kids interested and engaged, and you don't want reading class to be a place where kids go to hate reading. So I wholeheartedly agree in the utilization of comic books or graphic novels or whatever it takes to get our kids to start loving reading, because not everybody wants to read Shakespeare.
Bethany, have you ever seen any comics that kind of that address actual history, or are there any graphic novels that kind of tell stories that are based on fact? That are non-fictional?
I can't say off the top of my head I've utilized a lot of non-fictional. I know they've turned like Kafka's Metamorphosis into comic books, and there's a lot of those kind of things. Off of the top of my head, I probably, if I wasn't on the phone on the air, I probably could think of some, but at the moment I cannot.
Oh, you'll think of it in 10 minutes. I can pretty much guarantee
of
you.
Course.
Of course. But, you know, it's kind of like Bethany is saying, it sounds like, you know, you want to get kids to read, and it's kind of like getting them to eat their broccoli. But putting the graphics and the pictures there is like putting some butter on there and some salt, or maybe cheese sauce. Yeah. So that gets them to really get engaged in doing reading.
And that's what obviously we're trying to do, too, is to get the parents really interested and how to read to their kids so that it becomes an enjoyable part of the family. Together.
And then also making it a family event,
yes,
and making it a cultural thing that you just do at night.
Right.
And do you find that hard to do? I mean,
well, obviously there's obviously individual family needs and responsibilities
and
But if we can encourage them, just, you know, if it's half an hour, and it necessarily doesn't have to be English. It can be, you know, a Spanish comic. It can be anything, as long as they're reading together and enjoying it together, because that's where we have to develop the pleasure in reading.
That might be nice to start with a Spanish comic.
Absolutely.
And then go to the same comic but in English.
Mm-hmm.
And then that way they're kind of making that leap,
sure,
but still having the visuals to help keep them engaged and keep them interested in what's going on.
Right.
So Tom, have we inspired you to have a Spanish section now?
Soon.
Coming soon to a comic book thing. I wanted to ask Chris Nine just one last question relating to kids' literacy. Is there anything that you would like to touch on before we finish up today? Not just the regularity of having an evening thing with the families.
Yeah, I think one of the interesting subjects, and it might be something for a show possibly, is that there is an initiative in Collier County called Future Ready Collier, and it's being led by Champions for Learning, and that is engaging a lot of agencies that are really much involved in early childhood education. And obviously there are many agencies that are doing many different things. We're just doing one small part. And I think that is a whole area that really is very important. And
what is your part
recover.
Of? Is your part of that the family reading?
Ours is the pre-K, yep, within pre-K. Head Start, yes. And that's just one part.
So, and Tom, lots of cool comics and games. Final thoughts, what would you say to people who may not have been a comic shop for a while? They haven't gone in, they haven't checked it out, and they're on the fence about taking part in Free Comic Book Day tomorrow. What do you think?
I'd say don't be intimidated. Feel free to stop on by. We're very welcome and accommodating. And, you know, if you need any help, I have my staff and I – We will step forward. We'll direct you in the right direction, and we'll make sure you get the right thing and make sure you won't get the wrong thing for your kids.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, well, there is a certain kind of connoisseurship among comic book people. I mean, they know what they're talking about.
Oh, definitely.
And it can be a little intimidating when you don't.
Yeah, but we're very open to it. I will answer any questions I can if it's in my scope.
Yeah.
You come in. I'm very friendly to everybody.
You even knew the My Little Pony stuff.
I did. And I've had people come in and ask for that. And I was like, right over there. It's right over in that spinner rack.
It's where I hang out every day, I'm sure. All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. I want to thank our guests, Chris Nine with Literacy Volunteers of Collier, Tom Lots of Cool Comics and Games, and thanks also to Adam Malloy of North Fort Myers High for sharing his comic-based curriculum with us. Our show today was produced by Matthew Smith. Our director is Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.